We're in the Maimer Sheni Aisnun Vav. The Chaver had guided the discussion, which was heading to a discussion of the unique place of Klal Yisrael. He had guided it to a discussion first of the greatest creation, so to speak, in the world, which he said was the sun, which the king said was the sun. And Klal Yisrael said that the light in a human being's intellect or a human being's heart is much more significant, is a greater creation than the sun. And with that, here in Perek Nun Vav, in a very poetic way, he compares it to a chapter of Tehillim, Perek of Tehillim that we say every Shabbos in our davening, and that's where he guided it. Or it's interesting. One of the halacha rebbeim in the yeshiva in the high school came to me before shir today. I didn't have the time to discuss it with him. He told me that he was learning Hilchas Havdalah with his class. And when they finished, he gave out sheets of paper. And he asked, he said, we learned about Hamavdil, Ben Kaddish Lachar, Ben Halachayshech, Mashiach Shabbos, Yeshiva, Yeshayis Mevoresh. And he also talked about Hamavdil Ben Yisrael La'amim. So we asked the boys to write on a piece of paper what the significance of Yisrael, the Havdalah between Yisrael and Amim is. And he said he was very disappointed in their inability to think about the topic. And I told him, well, we have a style of teaching with Emunah Pshuta. And when you talk about Emunah Pshuta, you don't discuss or think about these things too much. And that's why the boys had never thought about it. And, so he asked me what he's supposed to do tomorrow in class. Like now he's got to explain it, so it's a little, tricky on his end too. So I told him we have to discuss it tomorrow because he caught me on the steps on the way up to Shir. Before Shir, I can't think about anything else. I'm giving Shir for 20 years. I'm nervous every day. And when somebody asks me why I'm nervous, I tell them when I stop being nervous, that's when I should stop teaching. You know, it's every day you want it to come out right. It's like I get a feher every day, you know, there are a bunch of boys who spend 2.5 hours preparing to feher me in class if I can say something sensible. So the good part is you can fool them a lot of the time. But otherwise, it's a tricky game. Sometimes when they don't understand, they assume because I'm just over their head. Sometimes I am. Sometimes, you want to dig a tunnel. You drill two sides. You just don't match sometimes. And I don't know. But anyway, he talks about a little bit about this idea, which is the Maimer Sheni. The reason I started with Maimer Shlishi when we started is because Maimer Shlishi Revi talked about Mitzvah Maisiyos. We're talking about brachas and the practical things, and this is a little more difficult. But let's see what he says. He takes a parak of Tehillim. He says David HaMelech was hinting at some of what we discussed. Amar Achava. You get the feeling he was guiding it that way all along. Haloitira echitzia David b'shvacha Torah. Look at how David expressed his praise of Torah. Shehigdim sipur Hashemesh b'mizbar Hashemayim misaprim kevoid keil. That's the kapitel. The first thing we say on Shabbos after Haidu and Mizmashir Chadukas Vayis LeDavid, we say the chapter that begins Hashemayim misaprim kevoid keil. Which is, I believe, Perek Yotes of Tehillim. And Perek Yotes of Tehillim, in a way, matches the discussion that he had here. It starts with six psukim of praise of the sun, really. We're not praising the sun, we're praising the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, but we're doing it by observing the heavens. So I'll just read the words and translate them for you, since you daven them every Shabbos. I'm sure you're fully aware of the translation, but let's see. Lam Netzeach Mizmor LeDavid. Nobody knows what that means. Let's go to the next pasuk. No, Lam Netzeach.
This is a musical conductor.
We used to have Tehillim classes from Rav Quinn, the principal in the yeshiva. He used to give Tehillim shir. And his Yiddish was like a very proper Yiddish. He was somebody who didn't grow up with Yiddish. He learned it later. He had Yiddish for everything. I'll never forget the time he said the Declaration of Independence in Yiddish. He said the Declaratia von Independencia. Everybody, it was just, he shouldn't have said it. The whole house came down. Lam Natzeach, he said to the orchestra, how did he say it in Yiddish? He had a word for the orchestra. The Declaratia von Independencia, I'll never forget. The orchestra, I forgot. The conductor of the orchestra. But, Mizmar LeDavid, a song to David. Now listen to what he says. Hashemayim b'safrim kavoy keil. The heavens speak of God's honor. Umasi yodav magad rakia. And his creation is told by the heavens. Meaning to say that if a person looks at the heavens, he should be able to see God. Yom li yom yabia aimer. Day to day, yabia aimer, it expresses a speech. The heavens say something day to day. Laila lalaila yichavedas. Night to night, it's yichavedas. It foretells knowledge, the way they translate it here. Now, next pasuk, I think a lot of people may have a hard time translating. Ein oimer ve'ein devarim b'li nishma kailam. What that means is, the heavens say the praise of Hashem. Ein oimer ve'ein devarim, without words, without a speech. B'li nishma kailam, without saying anything. You look at the heavens and you're speechless. B'chol ha'aretz yatzakavam, the arc of the heavens goes throughout the world, goes from one end of the world to the other. U'piktzei sevel milehem, and to the edges of the sevel is the inhabited world. Milehem, the milim, the words of the heaven. Lashemesh sam oyel bahem, and the sun. He has placed as a tent or as a roof over the earth. And when the sun runs from one side of the world to the other, like a chasen running from its chuppah, I think just, what's the dimion to a chasen going out of the chuppah? Kind of going to the chuppah, you understand? Dimion to a... He's happy, I guess. He goes out joyfully. Yosis, he rejoices. Kigibor lo ritzarach. Now we're going to explain these two things. Chasan yetze and kigibor. Mikseh Hashemayim Yitzai. From one end of the heaven is it where it's found. Uskufasai al kitzaisa. We're going to translate that. What kufa really means the orbit or the circuit. Goes al kitzaisa to the ends of the earth. Nothing is hidden from the heat of the sun. I'm only going to explain this, but my point is, his point is, there are six psukim that describe the sun, and then the psukim describe Teres Hashem, as if to say there's the beauty, the light that's given out from the sun that shows Godless Hashem, and then there's the beauty, the light of Teres Hashem, Temima, Mishivas Nafesh, Edus Hashem, Namona, Makis Pesi, and so on. It's really basically a six psukim of one, six psukim of the other, and then Yul Rasa in Refiv and Libil Fanach Hashem Suri Vegayali. That's the paragraph that we say. Now let's look. What?
Is there a time when he wrote this particular?
When David wrote it? I'm sure there is. I don't know that there's any specific midrashim that talk about it. I believe in the art scroll. Tehillim there before each paragraph, the ones where they're able to find the source, some explanation of where it came from. Here I don't see one. At any rate, let's learn the words that he says. He says, Hashemayim misaprim kavayit keil, v'zachar oira hakoilel, it mentions the light, incredible light of the sun, which covers everything, v'zakus atzuma, and its clarity, it shines with a clear light, the Yosher Darka, I'll explain Yosher Darka in a minute. Yosher Darka means its straight path. The Yofi Mareha and its beauty. Now, he explains in the Eitzer Nichba the idea of Yosher Darka. He explains that the sun, as you know, the earth is on a tilt. The axis are on a tilt towards the sun. So that we have seasons, we have a different a level of exposure to the sun in different parts of the world. He explains that it's that way because the earth wouldn't have its seasons. The seasons aren't necessary for the agricultural cycle in the world. And he explains that the Yoshe Darka, the wisdom with which the earth turns, the orbit of the heavens around the earth, is something that's incredible in its precision for what is needed for things to grow properly in the different parts of the world. It needs its seasons, etc. Today, it's been famously said in different articles about the placing of the earth and its distance from the sun. That the earth were closer to the sun, more distant than the sun, it wouldn't be suitable for life as we know it. And that's the Yoshe Darka. That's the Yashrus of its path. And that's what it means. The Eitz Nechman explains, Utskufasai al Kitsaisam. The Tkufais are the seasons. The earth orbits the sun in a way that creates seasons. And those seasons speak about the intelligence of whoever it was that placed the earth and the sun in their, in the relationship that the sun and the earth have. Now here, I'm going to try to explain something to you. It's really a basic thing to understand. When you watch the sun going around the earth, we perceive the sun going around the earth, there are two orbits that are taking place at any given moment. There's the daily orbit and the yearly orbit. That means we all know there's a daily orbit. Daily orbit is the earth turns on its axis in every 24 hours. So in effect, the sun appears to go around the earth. Then there's the yearly orbit. Every year, the earth goes one cycle around the sun. And again, that there's a certain perception that we have. If you look at the earth as stationary, it feels stationary, and you look at the sky and you look at the orbit of the sun, the sun is going backwards in its forward motion, which means to say that compared to the rest of the sky, I once told you the way the science books explain it, it's as if you have a train going around the center point. So that's the sun going around the earth. And at the same time, on the train, there's a man on top of the trains running. The train is going clockwise and it's running counterclockwise. So that's sort of the sun. You have the orbit that goes around. So this man running on top of the train, the other direction, is still going around. He's going around at a receding pace. If you were to plot the path of the sun around the earth without all of the science books, just to look at it every day, you would see a receding path of the sun. The same thing, it's easy for us to see it with the moon. If you go out every night and look at the moon every single night, what you'll see is that the moon goes every night from east to west. The moon rises that way and sets that way. But every night, it's falling a little backwards. So every night, if you got exactly the same time, at 9 o'clock or at 9:30, you'll see it still going from east to west, but it's going backwards from east to west, and somehow receding every day. That's the path.
Rises
later every day. Now, he uses this to explain the lashon v'hu kachasan yetzei mechu pasai yasas kegiva lo ratzairach. The chasan yetzei mechu pasai is the sun or the moon rising on one side, running across the sky. It's a joyful running. It's like a heavenly body. If you imagine it alive, it's coming up in the morning, all cheerful and setting on the other side. I go into the Sephardic Center. I go swimming in the morning. So there's a lady there that greets me every day. She always asks me something like, how are you doing? So I tell her, fine, nothing went wrong yet today. So I tell her in the morning, nothing went wrong yet today. The morning is certain optimism to the morning. The sun comes up. So that's kechasan yetzei mechu pasai. Now, at the same time, the sun or the moon is slowing down. It's sort of going backwards. The expression that he uses for the two orbits, one is the orbit haritzaini, the sun goes like it's eager to run, and when the orbit ha'achrechi, the fact that it's sort of forced to recede in its path. So the orbit that it's happy to do is k'chasan yaseh mechupasai. Yosis kigiba loratzarat. A certain amount of battle that the sun is doing, and that its orbit sort of changes every single day. It looks a little complicated, but at least for half a year, it appears that way. So if you'll, I mentioned that this time of the year, the orbit of the sun is changing. If you were to watch the sun outside every morning, it's always rising from that away, but it's been coming down the block, and now it's going back down the block from the place that it rises. Yeah, as let's say today, you're to watch sunrise out this window. You can see too many buildings in the way. But you see when the sun's first visible, you'll see that as the winter, we get closer to winter, the sun is moving down the block as it rises. So now right now, it's October, it's probably rising a little past the shul here, and by the time we get to the winter solstice, December, and in December, it's rising down by Horowitz's house. And then it goes back the other way. So it has two paths. It goes east to west, and it has a separate path. Right, that's all part of Yeshadarka, the wisdom of the path. And that is all, in nature, something that helps the plants grow. Vatoliboy, kilu omar, al tatamu min asipurim ha'ela. Don't be amazed by the sun. Ki ha'toyre yoyse bihira v'gluya umuforsemes umayilo umu'ula. The Torah is more incredible. It sheds more light than the sun. V'lulei b'nei Yisrael lo ha'yose ha'toyre. This maimer is talking about the Klal Yisrael being, so to speak, the heart of the earth. Now, what's different between Klal Yisrael and the Ummah Sa'ilah? What's ha'lahavdol ben Yisrael ha'amin? Klal Yisrael brought the Torah to the world. The whole, the Goyim never were mekabel Torah shebal peh, but at least the Torah shebiksav, that the nations, for a great part of the nations have taken. That whole idea Klal Yisrael brought to the world. Boy, ki lo yoysa ma'alosam, he says something interesting. Lo yoysa ma'alosam ba'avur Moshe. The greatness of Klal Yisrael is not because of the greatness of Moshe. On the contrary, Moshe's greatness comes because of the Jewish people. There's an old philosophical debate comparing Moshe Rabbeinu and Avraham Avinu. Who's the greatest Jew that ever lived? Was it Avraham Avinu, who founded our religion? Or Moshe Rabbeinu, who went up to Sinai and received the Torah. Now, I'm not giving out the greatest Jew awards, MVP award, but it's an analysis of each of them. I twice heard shiurim from tapes from Rabbi Shaber on the topic, comparing Avraham and Moshe, and the goal was not so much to compare Avraham and Moshe as to talk about two aspects of serving Hashem. The Rambam says Moshe was the greatest Eved. Of all the Avdei Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest. But as far as someone who discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was Avraham Avinu. So he said, here he's writing, Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness only came because of the Jews. Ki ava lo yhoysa ki im b'hamoin zera Avraham Yisef Yaakov. God's love comes because we're descendants of the Avos. Moshe Rabbeinu was given the job. We're not called the people of Moshe. Ela Am Hashem. K'mo shamar Am Hashem Eile. V'am Elokei Avraham. It's interesting. We say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov all the time. Do we ever say Elokei Moshe? Does it ever say in davening?
No.
Never. Not once, right? So the recognition of Hashem really comes from the Avos. He says, Moshe got his position because of us. Not we're Klal Yisrael because of Moshe. By Avraham, we're Klal Yisrael because of Avraham. But that's so with Moshe.
But as an individual, Moshe got the position because he was the greatest.
Yes, no question, Moshe was
so
the greatest.
He got the greatness as an individual, but Hashem chose him because of us.
He had the benefit of the Messiah. He had the benefit of it coming from his parents, which Avraham did not have. And even Yitzchak, when we say in the morning, L'kei Avraham, L'kei Yitzchak, L'kei Yaakov, we don't say in Shemoneh Esrei, L'kei Avraham, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov, the three L'keis, to say that each of the Avos sort of discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his own way. They're all avos. Each one's an av.
But no one else is called Eved Hashem besides Moshe.
A few others are, but nobody like Moshe. Yeah, there are a few places, a few that are called Eved Hashem. But no one's the Eved Lama, like Moshe. Rambam says, Moshe is the greatest Eved. Eved Hashem. Ve'im ra'yis ha'chukim olakiz dakois ha'milois. And now here, you'll bear with me, it's a couple of pages. He makes one statement. And this is a stab at the conversation that there were, that the king said, there are some people from the Umas Ha'ilam, the monks, they're greater, they abstain from the world greater. He said like this. Ein rayis achukim alakim dakis amilais. The connection to Hashem does not come from saying words. Unisiyos givine ho'ainayim. Very interesting expression for concentrating. When you concentrate, you furrow your brow. That's what they call it. Nisiyos givine ainayim. Furrowing the brow. Helim abachais. And like concentrating hard, closing your eyes till you start crying. V'harabois betchino betfilo betenuais, and chuckling a lot, and davening a lot, v'amorim, she'en achreim aysim. The chuckling, the davening, that doesn't come to halacha l'maisa, that's not an important, that itself is not a worthy way of serving Hashem. Now hear these two lines, ki ha'machshavais hazakais, the clear thoughts, ha'shariyasa maisim mitivam, she'em koshim al nefesh ha'adam. If the thought into Hashem brings you to actions that are hard, shem kashin al nefesh adam, that a person needs mesiras nefesh to do, achu isa betachlas hatayva va'ava, and a person does it, that's a sign of serving Hashem. Now, he goes through a list, which I guess we'll leave for next time, but the point he's saying is to show you're connected to the Ravani Shalom, it's not enough the word, the lip service. The words have to bring you to actions. And now, the next couple, till almost the end, he talks about different examples of ways to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I guess we'll be mamshik with that Yitzhak Hashem next time.
So where would he stand on the debate? What seeker? Torah? Learning Torah or doing mitzvah?
He would say, like the Gemara says, Torah is the ikker because it's mevi lidei ma'isa. Gemara says that.
He's saying if you learn the words, it's not...
The words for themselves are nothing.
Right.
But when the words bring lidei ma'isa, the son, it's a very, the Gemara asks, what's greater? Learning a Torah, learning a ma'isa? The Gemara says, Torah is greater, it brings lidei ma'isa. So everyone says just the opposite. If Torah is greater, it brings lidei ma'isa, it means ma'isa is greater. Right? You say something is greater because it gets me to something than getting there. So you say, no, a Torah that brings you lidei ma'isa, that's greater. A Torah just for itself, for the sake of study, is not. And that's the idea. That's what he said.
Torah is more good.
Titus completely.